welcome to the podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, hello, friends. This is D.A. Bennett with your podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church, and we're so glad that you're joining us in this series we're doing on God Moments. What we have been trying to do is find some people who just have great and amazing stories of faith to tell, typically when they faced a challenge, because we know when we all face challenges. Sometimes we find ourselves in that place where as we come through it, our faith has been really strengthened through that. And other times as we come through that, we see that our faith was shaken and it takes a while to get back. And so we hope if you've listened to the previous podcast that these have been helpful for you. But today we have another one that we think will be helpful for people. But before we dive into that, as always here in studio is my friend, colleague, co-host, Pastor Stephanie Greenwald. Stephanie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad to be here in studio with you and these amazing women. And what a great series this has been that we are in right now, especially during the month of October. It's fun as we're thinking about fall.
It is so good. I think fall, we get 3 days of fall of year, and yes, we're in day two now, so right, tomorrow will be a good day, and after
that's
that,
right,
we'll see what happens. Of course, I mean, for weeks now, everybody said we're ready for cooler temperatures,
right,
and we love the fall colors. People can't,
yeah,
wait for the advertisements of pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin,
it's
everything.
Just a great time
pumpkin
of year.
Pumpkin shoes, pumpkin
pumpkin shoes.
Pumpkin,
do you have some pumpkin shoes?
I have shoes that are the color of
pumpkin.
Okay, yes.
I think everybody would come to see you preach in pumpkin shoes.
It's a deal.
Okay, sounds great. Well, you know, October, when we talk about fall colors, one of the colors that I always think about in October is the color pink.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because when you go to sporting events, whether it's Little League baseball or you're going to a high school football game with the players and the pom squad and the cheerleader, you know, everybody is wearing pink for pink,
yeah,
out. And the reason for that is pink is the color that is used for breast cancer awareness. This is something that has always been very important in our family.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our listeners probably do not know, but several years ago, my mother-in-law, Robin's mother, died as a result of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And going into our marriage, she had actually been diagnosed with breast cancer while we were dating. And
mm-hmm.
you just kind of go into a marriage thinking, wow, this could happen to the woman I love. And
mm-hmm.
so it's been something that we've always thought about and always been careful about. And so today we have two guests with us that have battled breast cancer and they won the fight against,
yes,
this. And so we want to hear from them about where they've experienced God in the midst of their diagnosis and treatment and moving forward. And so I think some people will be familiar from previous podcasts, our director of membership and care here at St. Andrews, Laura Aldridge. Laura, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
It's so good to have you here. And then we have one of our preschool teachers, all-around active mom and educator of Christian educator for children, and that's April Claybaugh. April, how are you today?
Doing great, thank you.
Awesome. We're so glad y'all are both here. So let's just dive right in, and let's talk about, tell us about your diagnosis. I mean, you probably felt healthy and vibrant, and then you get this diagnosis. I mean, how old were you? Scratch that. How young were you whenever you got your diagnosis? You know, what was your family situation? How did you respond? Laura, let's start with you in answering that.
Well, I was 42. I had just turned 42, so I felt like I was pretty young. But at the same time, I have a family history of breast cancer, and my mother was 40 when she was diagnosed with breast,
wow,
cancer. So I think kind of the way I received the diagnosis was more matter-of-factly than a lot of people might have. I always felt like it was not a matter of if, but a matter of when.
I was going to say, so mentally, subconsciously, uh-huh, it was kind of always there.
Yes, yes. my family, I don't think they accepted it that way or received it that way, but that was how I received it.
And what was your family situation at the time?
We have one son who was a senior in high school.
Okay.
And then we have another son who was in third grade at the time.
And so for your older son, it was like, wow, I'm supposed to be having fun, and now life and death is right here in front of me.
Mm. Yes, I think he understood it a little more. But then I guess I don't want to shortchange Mitchell. I mean, being in third grade, I think he understood a little more than we wanted to let on. We tried to tell him everything that we knew. We wanted to be upfront and honest with him. And it hit home when one day on the way to school, he looked over and just kind of matter-of-factly said, "Mom, are you going to die?"
Mm. Yeah.
And wow. So, whoa. You know, you have to address that and answer it. But I think the family received it a lot differently than I did.
A third grader, probably 9, maybe 10 years old, he understood. He might not have understood death, but he understood this is something that people die from.
That people die from. And that was, up to that point, that was my story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My mother died from cancer, so that's the only story I knew.
Yeah. Right.
Was that cancer would take my life.
Yeah.
Or a life.
Right.
Right. Wow. Okay, so April, how about you?
I was actually 36 years old. Too young to get mammograms, insurance to cover mammograms. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed in August of 2012. So my kids were going into sixth grade, going into third grade, and a preschooler. Morgan was not quite 4.
I was actually trying to remember if Morgan had been born yet.
Yes. Yeah, she was almost 4. So, thank God prepared me, because I always knew I was going to get cancer. Mm. It just, my grandmother had postmenopausal breast cancer, which is not hereditary.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Pink has always been my favorite color, thankfully. but just mentally, I feel like God prepared me from an early age that was what my future held.
Wow.
So I actually didn't go to the doctor for 3 months. Because I knew they were going to tell me that my tumor was, in fact, cancer, and I didn't want them to tell me that.
So you were in denial.
I was in denial. Mm. And finally, when I went, I just said, well, all right, here we go.
Wow.
So. And so your grandmother had it, but not your mother.
Right. It was my dad's mom.
Okay.
And when it's postmenopausal, it's not genetic.
Right.
So, you know, there was, unlike Laura's story, I didn't have the family history per se.
Right.
So.
Wow, how fascinating. So it's interesting to hear how you each responded when you got the news, and then a little bit about how your family responded. I know when people hear the word cancer, a lot of different responses come. And so I'm curious, how did friends and other family members respond when they heard that you got this diagnosis? So like Laura, your husband Robert, how did he respond?
Fear, I think. Mm-hmm. Fear of the unknown, fear of losing me, just fear, I think.
So were there some conversations where he kind of expressed that fear, where he said, gosh, I'm wondering what I would do raising two boys or anything like
no.
that?
No. Yeah. I we didn't spend a lot of time talking about that. Maybe when, like, April, it was denial, you know, because you talk about it and that makes it real.
Yeah.
Even though it was real.
Right.
You know, if you don't talk about it, maybe it won't happen. And,
And so. Exactly. And what about friends, people at church? What was that like when they found out?
I feel like that a lot of times people saw it as a death sentence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
April's nodding her head, but she agrees with that.
They don't necessarily hear breast cancer, which is one of the most treatable forms of cancer. They just hear cancer.
Right.
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 And
it's a scary word.
It's a scary word.
Yeah, it really is.
You shut down. You don't hear anything.
Right.
After that, sometimes.
I think sometimes it's because people know someone or they have a relative that when they were diagnosed, you know, it wasn't early detection. It was late and it was already in the latter stages. And,
You
know, I didn't feel different. I just knew I wasn't feeling normal. And boom, wow, there it is.
Yeah. So, April, tell us about how your family experienced that and friends and others that you told.
Well, when Aaron and I got the diagnosis, it just, we just looked at each other and said, okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. My family was emotional about it. And anyone that knows me knows I'm sarcastic. And
which is a gift that I appreciate.
Right. Love it. You know. Yes.
But, you know, everything is approached with humor, with jest. And I told my family, I said, if I lose my humor, we're all in trouble. And I feel that I tried to keep as much of humor as I could. You know, the kids, Morgan had no clue. Jacob was, you know, like your younger, oblivious. And that was the year Mallory was going to Camp Klassen with her sixth grade. And when we told them, she said, are you going to be able to go to Camp Klassen? So...
That I mean, that was her coping for her real world. This is how this could have the most immediate impact on me. Is now you can't do what you were going to do.
And I ended up going to Camp Klassen when we met with an oncologist, and she said, I'll make sure that's the week you feel your best. And we did horseback riding, canoeing, mountain climbing. They just knew it was the bald, crazy lady that, you know, don't mess with the bald, crazy lady.
I was going to say, I love that you didn't mind losing your hair, but your humor was what you had to hang on to.
Humor was what was important.
That's right.
That's what the little kids around here thought of me when I would go around bald.
So, and... Laura, you were actually bald when I came, and I remember you were just very upfront, and, you know, it's not, I'm not going to ask what's going on. I mean, you kind of guessed, but you were able to just say, this is what's going on. And so one of the things I think that perhaps is unique about your stories is both of you were raised in the church. Both of you were raised in Christian homes, and so you... When you got this diagnosis, you weren't suddenly searching for faith. You already had faith. And I want to hear in a moment how your faith did play a role in your life throughout this. But I actually want to ask a question that may seem a little more shallow, but my hope is it's helpful for anybody that might need to hear your answer to this. And that is that in the church, sometimes when someone we know, someone we love, gets this diagnosis or any bad news, you know, if it's shared as a prayer concern on Sunday morning, you can just kind of hear the groan from the church that people may not know you, but they know this is not good. And they want to say something. In all sincerity, they love Jesus. They want to express love for you. And they come up and they just want to give you some canned statement to encourage you or a pat answer, you know, what I like to call thoughtless theology. They're not putting thought in it. I've just heard this, so I'm going to say this and maybe it'll help. Were there some things people said to encourage you that actually had the opposite effect? I mean, maybe someone said something and inside you just wanted to explode, but you just smiled. What are some unhelpful ways people react? April, we'll start with you on this one.
I think one of the biggest ways that people aren't helpful is showing you pity or, oh, you poor thing. Well, yeah, yeah, you poor thing, but how about, wow, I can't, you know, I can't fathom. That's helpful. Or just the biggest thing that helped me was just prayers. But, I think I heard at least once, oh, I'm so glad it's not worse. Or, you know, oh, it's only stage two. Well, you know.
Halfway there.
You know, and like you say, people mean well. Or they just completely avoid you because they don't know what to say. And that's almost worse than getting the awkward comment.
So let's deal with that. If someone were to come up to you and say, April, I just don't know what to say, you're okay with that?
I am so good with that because a lot of times I don't know what to say.
Laura's nodding in agreement. Laura, what did you have any situations where you're just like,
The only one that I can really recall was, I guess, you know, you work around people, you work in the church, people feel like they know you personally.
Right.
And I ran into the sweetest lady in the grocery store, and I know that she meant well, but she wanted to, she had just heard, and she was so sorry and wanted to hear, you know, the details. And I'm standing in the grocery store. People are staring, or I felt like they were staring because I'm telling this woman. Mm-hmm. And it just got to the point of being more than I could handle. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't run out of the store quick enough get to my car and ugly cry.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's just not really what I wanted to talk about over the produce.
I'm looking at tater tots here. And
yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the only real time that I can remember having that feeling of I just need to run away. I need to get away from this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's interesting, too, coming from a perspective of someone who has not had to go through and be as strong as you guys have been incredibly strong. But it's interesting because a lot of times I feel like when people hear the word cancer, then that sort of becomes your identity. Like, okay, yeah. I stopped being April, now I'm cancer. And that doesn't feel very good. You know, if that's everything that everybody's talking to you about, it's like, no, I'm still April, I'm still Laura, I'm still Stephanie, you know? Mm-hmm. I would just think that's an interesting thing to remember when we're talking to people.
Well, and I don't know about Laura, but I mean, I am 100% proud to call myself a survivor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's who I am.
Yeah.
I think both of you have it on your license plates on your vehicle. Yep. That's how I know when y'all are here at church. But there it is right there.
There's pink.
That's right.
And you know, it doesn't bother me that is who I am. Mm-hmm. I do think that it bothered my oldest child. He was old enough at the time because I can remember a time that he made a comment about, you know, all the pink ribbons and everything you have has pink ribbons on it. And, you know, and so that's all he's, maybe he or his friends, I don't know. You don't know what they hear, you know, from other people. But he wanted me to have more of a different identity than it just being that.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
So
well, so on the flip side, when, you know, people obviously sometimes say things that aren't helpful, but I'm sure there were a lot of people that said things that were helpful. So what were some of the things that people said that really gave you encouragement? Laura, let's start with you.
Well, I, you know, getting cards in the mail was always, I looked forward to them. It always seemed like that scripture that someone might have referenced or it spoke for that day.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing that I can remember being touched by or that meant the most to me was something as simple as bringing us a meal.
Oh, sure.
I might have felt really crummy or just, you know, I didn't have the energy to get up and cook. But knowing that my family was provided for, It meant a lot to me.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, we're Methodists.
That's
casserole.
Right.
Gotta
eat.
You
like to
eat.
That's right. What about you, April? What do people say that was helpful?
I think to this day, the most special thing that I can get is that I'm an inspiration to them. Mm-hmm. That they feel that they can come talk to me if they've had an irregular mammogram or a concern or they've got a loved one. But you know, the biggest support we had was from this church, and we weren't even members here.
Wow.
When my diagnosis came and the preschool teachers, they took care of us. They took care of my kids. I got baskets of goodies for me for chemo.
Wow.
My kids got baskets of goodies, a teddy bear that was bigger than Morgan.
At the sign.
Right. But just, you know, like we had said, I'm praying for you. The meals, just the thought, the text. I've got a box still 7 years later of all of the cards I ever received.
Wow. I still have my cards in a drawer. They meant a lot.
Yeah, they mean a lot. And when you're having a rough day, you can go back and look.
Wow, that's really cool.
That you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, Laura, you talked about, you know, maybe it's a scripture. Were there some scriptures that did speak a lot to you? Or well, let me just rephrase the question. Again, both of you came into this as women of faith. How did it affect your faith? Because again, through the different stories we've had, some people are, oh, why me? And other people are, Lord, it's okay if it's me. You know, what was your response? You know, were there dark moments where you thought, I wish I had more faith?
I think there's always times where you feel like when you're going through it, that I need more faith. But I also think that my faith deepened, and I think it continues to deepen in subtle ways. As a young woman, I had dreams for my life.
Right.
You know, I wanted to see my boys graduate high school. You want to see one of them, you know, see them get married. Mm-hmm. You want this, you want that. Well, the final checkbox on my list occurred 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I knew we were going to get around to this.
That's right, always.
And that's to become a grandmother.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want to keep living. I do, you know, but, you know, you want to see those things happen because my mother didn't get to see those.
Right. That it was interesting that you brought that up because Robin was able to have discussions with her mother before she died. I mean, we knew Mama H was going to die, and Robin was able to have those conversations. And one of the questions was, essentially, is there anything in life that you missed out on? Mm-hmm. And she said, I always wanted to be a grandmother. She had gotten to the point where when she was hanging out with her friends, she'd say, y'all can't talk about your grandchildren because she didn't have any. And, you know, you look at each other and you're like, you know, even if we decided to try to start having a baby now, she's not going to be alive when that baby's born. And that's the wrong reason to bring a child in the world, in our opinion. So how about you, April?
I decided from the get-go that, you know, my faith, I could throw a fit, put myself in the corner and rock. And I knew God was not going to say, oh, okay, you don't want this. Let me take that away. It just wasn't going to happen. That, you know, that's not the case. So you just stand up and say, okay, the boxing gloves are on. But I know I felt God with me 100% of the time. I could see it in my kids' eyes. When I felt atrocious, did I have the pity moments? Of course, you know, but from the beginning, we were in charge of this. God was in charge of this. Cancer was not in the driver's seat.
Did either one of you or did both of you have someone else that you looked to that said, I've been through this, I'm going to be here with you through this?
I mean, my grandmother had passed from a stroke, not from the breast cancer that she had had, but so I didn't have a quote-unquote mentor. I mean, I had Laura, absolutely, who coached me and was such an encouragement to me, but I didn't have the family mentor or somebody that... other than Laura, that I could bounce, okay, hang on. And I did not want to go to group therapy or, you know, just these groups because I didn't want someone telling me how I should feel, how I should handle situations because it was Aaron and I. Right. We made the decisions. Yeah. I didn't want somebody encouraging how I was supposed to feel.
That was me. Robert and I, we teamed up, you know. This was not something happening to me.
Yeah.
It was something happening to us.
Yeah.
And we teamed up and like April said, we fought.
Oh, I love that. So I just want us to tackle one last thing here with the podcast that and what you guys have said so far has been amazing, and I really appreciate you sharing stuff with all of our listeners. As you think about your relationship with God through the cancer and through the things that you went through, how did it change your understanding of who God is and how He works? Who wants to go first with that one?
Yeah, we start with the easy questions.
Right.
We build our way up to the big ones.
Harder. Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow. Well, I think I don't know that it changed my understanding as much as it just reaffirmed my understanding.
Okay.
I mean, because I was raised in a Christian home, mm-hmm. and I knew that God was involved in every detail and every part of my being.
Yeah.
But I just became aware of it. I felt it. I sensed it. I saw it.
Yeah.
In things mm-hmm. that others might say is coincidence. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I think that it was evidence of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just being faithful to mm-hmm. His word.
Yeah. Yeah. As a faithful God. What about you, April?
Like Laura, I have a better understanding mm-hmm. of God. And, you know, in a way, I've laughed and said, I'm still here because God's not quite ready for me. He's not quite ready for this personality. But I know God has left me here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, to help other women. And I mm-hmm. am so thankful and blessed that I have been able to.
Yeah.
You know, I've unfortunately come across many women that have had similar diagnoses.
Sure.
But I feel like I can share my mm-hmm. story and God's love, mercy, and guidance mm-hmm. of my story to help encourage and help their fight.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, y'all been very kind to answer the questions that we've kind of had. I wonder if there's some things we haven't covered, but that maybe mm-hmm. when we approached you about this, you thought, oh, here's something I want to share. If y'all have any last thoughts either about how this affected your relationship with Christ or just about breast cancer awareness and those mm-hmm. kinds of things, any last words y'all want to share?
Get your mammogram.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Self-examination, mm-hmm. you know, I was 36, you were 42.
Mm-hmm. Which yeah. both are very young.
Very young.
Very young. Very young. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And don't ignore it. Mm-hmm. Don't mm-hmm. act like it's not there. And if you need somebody to talk to, mm-hmm. you know, contact the church and they'll get you in touch mm-hmm. with us. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like that's why I'm still here. I know yeah. Laura feels like that's why mm-hmm. she's still mm-hmm. here, but that's why God's got us mm-hmm. doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both very much. And I just feel like I want to say that if you're listening and you're thinking, well, wow, this isn't a guy thing. Mm-hmm. I want to say that I would disagree with that. Mm-hmm. Laura probably remembers shortly after I came here to St. Andrews, we had a man who had been a part of the church I grew up in, mm-hmm. and he actually died from breast cancer mm-hmm. himself. And that's wow. not something you typically hear about mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. men. So men know it does happen to us too, just mm-hmm. not nearly as frequently. Thank you both so much mm-hmm. for
Thank
sharing
you.
Your stories and your faith and your willingness if people want to reach out and mm-hmm. talk to be available for them. And friends, we're always thankful when you join us for the podcast. We're very grateful for that. We hope that if you know someone that this could be an encouragement to, that you would be willing to share this with them. And as always, if you are active in a church right now, you're looking for a new church home, we hope that you would consider us here at St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. We have 3 services on site every Sunday at 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. And if you want to kind of check us out beforehand on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, our 8:15 service, which is traditional, our 10:50 service, which is contemporary, you can check those out. We would be glad to have you join us. For us here in studio, again, Laura, April, thank you very much. Stephanie, I look forward to seeing those pumpkin shoes.
Me too. Thanks, friends. Have a great day.
We're so grateful that you joined us for today's podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. We're located at 2727 Southwest 119th Street in Oklahoma City. So if you live in South Oklahoma City, Moore, Norman, Newcastle, Blanchard, Tuttle, Mustang, any of the surrounding communities, we would love to have you join us for worship. Service times are 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. We hope to see you soon.